Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The new production Against the Grain, The Life and Times of Levi Fisher Ames, tells a lesser-known Wisconsin story about a Civil War veteran who found a creative way of dealing with post-war trauma.
It's a co-production of DanceWorks Performance Company and Theater MXT. It was co-written and directed by Edward Morgan and choreographed by Danny Kepper, and they both join me in the studio now. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for coming in just before opening.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you.
Before we get into the production itself, let's talk about Levi Fisher Ames.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he? Who was he? Why is he important?
Levi Fisher Ames was the son of Swiss immigrants. He moved to Monroe, Wisconsin in Greene County. That's in the South when he was a teenager. He enlisted in the Civil War. He was injured, was released, re-enlisted. So he fought for a while. At the end of the war, he came back. He'd been a carpenter, but he couldn't work anymore from injury and or sickness. It's not clear. He taught himself wood carving, and wood carving took over his life. There's some evidence, really, that he was suffering from what we'd now call PTSD. Psychologically, the first things he carved were like, you know, severed hands and graves and skulls and that sort of thing. And then he began to carve animals, and some were realistic and some were fantastical. And pretty soon, within a few years, he had hundreds of animals, and he was studying animals and taking photographs, and it just took over more and more of his life. He built little shadow boxes to put them in and show them, and then he built crates, and then eventually he bought a big canvas tent and began to tour county fairs with the Museum of Art and Natural History. And he got his whole family involved. They'd play music and dance out in front of the tent. He would sit out in front of the tent and tell stories about the animals, real and fantastical. And so it was a whole show. But he wouldn't charge admission, and he wouldn't sell any of his carvings. That work, his 600 carvings, were preserved by his grandson, Howard Jordan. Actually, his son sold them in the Depression to a pawn shop for $133. His grandson bought them back and preserved it for 68, 70 years until finally he gave them to the Kohler Foundation. He gave the whole collection to preserve, and they gave it to the museum, the Kohler Art Museum. And that's where I saw the collection in 2007 when it was first on the floor. I was up there with a show. And between the work and the brief biography of his life, it just hit me, what an amazing story. This story should be told with dance and theater on stage.
And I think I saw them the same year that you did, too. Mm-hmm, and they are amazing.
Yeah.
The pieces are just spectacular. And the fact that the collection is complete.
Right. Right. And it's unpainted wood. There's something raw and unpretentious and immediate. And everything that folk art, or we call it outsider art now, everything that, you know, that you get from that, they're right there. And a lot of them tell stories. They're very theatrical. It's like two animals fighting, or one is hunting the other, or whatever. It's just they're great. They're great.
So, Danny, when Edward came to you and said, we need to tell this with theater and dance, what was your first reaction?
I was really compelled. It's always very satisfying, I think, when you can embrace Wisconsin, when you can embrace the community that we live in. And I feel very strongly about that, working with collaborators. And, you know, our paths have sort of crossed before. So I was just excited to make that connection with a new collaborator for a story that's so rich and Wisconsin-based. But also, I really understood what he was going for in terms of, we need a movement aesthetic to describe these creatures, to describe the relationships between the carvings and Levi Fisher Ames. And it's been really, really exciting to think about all of the migrations between, as you pointed out, sometimes human, sometimes the dancers are human, and other times they're creatures, and then sort of mutating back and forth in a way describing, perhaps, as you mentioned, if Levi Fisher Ames was suffering from PTSD, perhaps that's how I imagine it. Perhaps there's a blend between what is really happening and what's actually happening. So I think the dancers help create that world of shape-shifting or mutation or, I don't know, some sort of slow, gradual fade in and out.
I love the idea of taking this story and not just doing a typical monologue, mm-hmm. making like a mm-hmm. one-man show out of it,
right,
and
right.
just have him talk about, you know. And, I mean, it's not that John Kischling couldn't do that. He absolutely could. But, given who Levi Fisher Ames was and what he was dealing with, this seems like it makes it somehow more complete.
Yeah, the premise of the show is that he did, in fact, die at the Soldiers' Home in Madison, Wisconsin in 1923. So it is in June 1923. It is June 1923. He's alone in this room. He's got a male orderly who comes in and out, and his wife visits him. Other than that, the six dancers are his sort of his familiar ghosts. They're his six of his carvings, his animals, his creatures that only he can see. And then he journeys in his memory to scenes with his wife and son. So there's scenes with his son, and there's scenes with neighbors and children and at the fairgrounds. And there's a vaudeville kind of a section and a section where he's telling a story. And so it gets into his whole life story. But ultimately, it's all taking place in the room in his mind.
Anyway. How long did it take you to put all of this together from when you first saw, really, when okay, you first yeah. saw his carvings?
Well, in 2007, I had the idea. And the only time it really surfaced between then and 2 years ago was that I did chat with Ed Burgess about it when we had begun to explore doing a piece together, not that long before he passed away, bless him. And then 2 years ago, when I was here with John Kishline and we had written On Silent Night, we were working on that, something in me said, now's the time. And Danny and Danceworks was performing at Next Act, so we went and saw their show, which had film in it. And I pitched the idea to Kish to join me in the writing and to play Levi Fisher Ames. And then we got together with Danny. And from then, it's been one of the things I've worked on the last 2 years. When I was here a year ago working with Next Act on another play, we were much further along. And at that point, we met with mm-hmm. Deb Farris, and I had begun to write. I wrote the first draft, and then Kish joined me as a co-writer. The writing was incredibly easy because I guess it had been on a back burner for
11 years.
Right. It came really fast. And thinking I'd seen several of their shows and it came fast. It came easy.
And Danny, we've talked about this before, too, about yeah. the whole collaborative process and mm-hmm. finding other ways for individual artists and smaller groups to do something bigger than they could do on their
yes.
own.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems like it's a perfect example of that.
Yes, because as you briefly mentioned, there's a film element as well. So Kim McDaniel is the filmmaker. And what that does, originally, I thought we need to have film, and we both agreed that we need the film so that you can get an understanding of what is this work? What are these carvings that we're talking about? Because obviously our audience isn't going to see the whole collection as we're at Danceworks. But that the film can serve that need, but she really abstracts to a different place, but in a way that supports what we're doing so that it adds layers. You know, it becomes more and more rich because it's another artist's point of view, you know, that's working around the same concepts, but sort of filling it out in a different mode. It's
yeah.
great.
I think of it as a window into his mind.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
The film?
Yes.
Yes. In
yeah.
addition to the movement and the everything going
mm-hmm.
on.
Right.
I know Kish isn't here to because you're getting ready for a dress rehearsal as we're talking
right,
about this.
Right.
But if you're willing to speak for him, how is he feeling about being Levi Fisher Ames?
I think he's feeling great about it. His and my collaboration is deep and long, both as co-writers and director, writer, and we've acted together. So I can speak for him in saying that he's aware the role was written for him, you know, and he's deeply at home in it. It's been good. It's been a rich rehearsal process. And, you know, it's still ripening. These things mature because he's the center of all of it. He's on stage the whole time. It's all in his brain. But he's landing. He's landing in the role. I think he's going to be great.
What have you learned about Levi Fisher Ames that you didn't know before this?
It's less what I've learned about him factually speaking. It's more what I've learned about what it might be like to be a person in this fictional story that we've created. Just the expansion, the dimensions, and the depth that we've gotten through realistic dialogue, and then there's heightened language. There's some poetry in there while dance is going on. His relationship, three-dimensional, visceral relationship with the dancers, the film, the music, has just created a kind of spell. One hopes to cast a spell. And I guess I've learned about the flavor of that spell. That's kind of a strange answer. But I've learned how thick and rich this story is and how looking back on one's life, I guess, my imagining of his looking back on his life is wonderful and rich. It's a story about a person who heals himself through creativity. It's a story about a person who's able to transform himself several times over and the power of that, the beauty of that. And it's a story about mortality and the sort of the mystery of saying goodbye to one's creations, to one's family, and letting go. And all of those things resonate with me in my life. So I guess I've learned about that.
Yeah, I'm very compelled because I think that very much true with this performance is that the audience will leave feeling impacted. I feel very confident about that, that there's something about the way it lands, you know, that it gives the audience space to consider mortality, to consider what does it mean, this life that we're all in together. But to me, I really feel that the audience is going to leave feeling, you know, what you hope, that people have a little window opened, you know, of thought, of reconsideration, empathy, you know. So to me, it's really satisfying.
And I'm also thinking it's maybe a way for people to say there are a lot of ways to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to cut that out of our lives
mm-hmm.
just because we're not Van Gogh, say, mm-hmm. or some, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. that there's a lot of room and there's a lot of ways to express yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I certainly feel as an artist that my creativity is some essential part of who I am. And I do think sometimes our culture tends to distance people from their creativity if they're not a professional. And it's mm-hmm. affirming of that, certainly. I will say there's a lot of it also that's funny. There's a good yeah. amount of humor in there, too. So that's fun, too. The entertainment value and the Wisconsin history value is just way cool because there's the Civil War connection and then also sort of Wisconsin old-time county fair feel entertainment is a part of it, too.
Well, and the Wisconsin kind of impulse to create like these environments. I mean, the Kohler, I know you're taking this to the Kohler.
We are.
And their mission is to preserve like these artistic environments and these outsider art.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Wisconsin has so many
mm-hmm.
is really interesting about the makeup of our state.
It is. I agree.
You know, about yeah. who we are as people that so many people found yeah. a home here to do this yeah. kind of work.
Yeah, and one wonders if that's because of the immigrant populations that came here or the circus culture that developed here or what, you know, what combination of things created that. But there is a lot more of that here.
Right. Some sort of alchemy happened,
mm-hmm. right.
you know,
right, right.
And it sounds like that same kind of alchemy is happening in this piece.
That's nice.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be at the Kohler for a weekend, November 9th and 10th. And that's going to be very exciting to perform up there where I'm sure they'll put some of the exhibit out on the floor. And it's kind of almost like a pilgrimage to the source, you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's where I saw the material and they have it there and one of their prized collections.
Any ideas of taking it further out once this run is done?
We like that idea. You know, Kish and Deborah and I toured in India through the consulate, whatever. So we've done that. We're thinking, oh, Switzerland, you know, but also the Monroe County Art Center is a place that might be ideal since that's where he was from. And we do have somebody already from that art center interested to come see it. So you never know.
Terrific. Well, hopefully this isn't the last we hear of it.
Hopefully not.
I want to thank you both so much for coming in on dress rehearsal day. Go make some theater, and we will see you at DanceWorks or at the Kohler.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Danny Kepper is the choreographer, and Edward Morgan co-wrote and directed the production of Against the Grain, The Life and Times of Levi Fisher Ames. The DanceWorks and Theater MXT co-production opened last week at the DanceWorks Studio Theater on North Water Street. It runs Thursday through Sunday at DanceWorks and November 9th and 10th at the John Michael Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan.